Here in America, it is the Independence Day month. July is normally the Independence Day month. And last Monday, July 4th, we celebrated America's 235th birthday. America is 235 years old. And basically, what it is this, is that America, the original colonies, received independence from the oppressive regime and kingdom of Great Britain in 1776. And I'm sure that all of us know something about that here, right? In the United States, America, the original 13 colonies, were under the oppressive kingdom of Great Britain. And 235 years ago, we received independence. The Declaration of Independence was adopted on July 4th, 1776. And that's good news, right? That we're free here in this country. Now, in comparison, speaking now on a spiritual level, for each and every single one of us, we at one time were under an oppressive kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the enemy. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we have been delivered and set free. Amen? Paul writes about this in Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14. So if you have a Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 13 and 14. He's writing here to the Colossians, and he says this. He's giving thanks to the Father for them, and then he says in Colossians 1:13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, we've been set free, the forgiveness of sins." We read that again, Colossians 1:13. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And before Christ, in your life and in my life, we were under an oppressive kingdom of darkness. But when Jesus Christ, by faith in him, entered our lives, we were set free. We were brought into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And that's good news, isn't it? You know, freedom from oppression can happen in many areas of your life. It can happen in many areas of your life, but it all begins with what? You may be oppressed in different areas of your life today, but freedom from oppression begins with what? It's the one main thing that it begins with. It begins with faith in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this today. Why do people, and you may have been here one time before, why do people come under the bondage of addictions like drugs and alcohol, chemicals? Why do they come under the bondage of immorality, sleeping with someone who's not your spouse? Why do people come under the bondage of pornography and gambling and these types of things? Why do people come under these different forms of bondage and oppression?
Because it's a good feeling they can get the Holy Spirit, they don't get the Holy Spirit.
These are sins. Why do people come under the bondage of these sins? They come under them to find inner peace and satisfaction. And, you know, as I drive around Tulsa, I've driven around Tulsa before, there's a sign that I've seen in the past, and it says, "Inner Peace Yoga Classes." Everybody is looking for peace on the inside that only Jesus can bring. Amen? Is that making sense? So people come under bondage of gambling and immorality and chemicals and these sorts of things to the American dream. Some people are under the bondage, oppression of the American dream, having a bigger house and a bigger boat and a bigger car and lots of money in the bank. Why? Why are they under these oppressions and bondages? They're under it to find peace and satisfaction. What they do is, on the inside, they're looking for peace. They're looking for satisfaction. And they turn to these different things, to gambling and to drugs and to the American dream, thinking that they can find peace in those things. Little do they know that those things bring them under oppression and bondage, and they become slaves of sin in those areas. But there's only one that can give us true peace and satisfaction, and who is he? Jesus Christ, God the Son, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ, when he touches the human soul and comes into a person's life, he brings peace and satisfaction that surpasses any human understanding. See, people come under bondage to sin because they're looking for inner peace. But only Jesus can bring inner peace and satisfaction. Now, what does John write about the work of Jesus? 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. This is what he writes. If you read it in context, we'll explain here. 1 John 3:8. The second half of verse 8 in 1 John 3. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason that Jesus appeared on this earth and died upon a cross was to destroy the devil's work. Is why Jesus came to this earth. Is why Jesus died on the cross, was to destroy the devil's work. Now, if you read that scripture in context, what is the devil's work? What is the devil's work? Okay, anybody else? The devil's work is what?
Sin.
Sin. Bondage to sin. The grip of sin over a person's life. So we can read it this way. The reason the Son of God appeared, Jesus appeared, was to destroy the grip of sin over your life. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why we place faith in Jesus Christ, is so that the grip of sin is destroyed over our lives. That's good news, isn't it? Amen? You know, Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and our faith in him delivered us from two things, main two big things. Number one, the grip of sin. And number two, the bondage of an eternity in hell. Let me say it again. The work of Jesus and our faith in him delivered us from two main areas. The grip of sin over your life. And number two, bondage to an eternity in hell. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that this calls for celebration. Every July 4th, what do Americans do across America? To celebrate independence from Great Britain. What do? They have barbecues. They've got get-togethers. They blow off what? Fireworks. They get together with family to celebrate our independence. Amen? Well, this calls for a bigger celebration spiritually in our lives. We've been delivered from sin and hell. And that good news, friend, you have got to pass on to somebody else. See, once you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, chains to begin to fall off in different areas of your life. See, at one time, you may have been in control of your own life. And a lot of people out there think this way. They call themselves Christians, quote unquote, but they're in control of their own lives. This is my life. I do with my life as I please. And you might be thinking like that today. This is my life, and I'll do with my life as I please. You might be in the driver's seat of your life today, driving your life, controlling your life. But guess what? Somebody else wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. Somebody else wants to be behind the steering wheel of your life. And who is that? Who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life? Jesus. So slide on over to the passenger side and put Jesus into the driver's side. And once you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the different chains will start falling off in different areas of your life. Now, those chains are not going to fall off overnight, but they will begin falling off. And it all begins with submission to Jesus, surrendering to God and to his will for your life. Saying, Jesus, at one time I was in control of my own life, but Jesus, I give my life to you now. Do with my life as you please. And if you do that, you will be set free. See, Jesus provides what? Freedom from what? We talked about it. Freedom from sin and hell with accountability, with boundaries. We're free from sin by faith in Christ. We're free now from hell. But there's accountability. We've got to live the holy life that God commands us to live in his word. Amen? So let's talk for the next few minutes about freedom in different areas of our lives. You might be in a prison of financial poverty today, friends. Anybody ever been there? Financially needy, poverty? Right? You've got more money at the end of your money than money at the end of your month. All right, poverty. Maybe you've been in a prison of gambling where you've wasted your money. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, start believing God for a miracle in your life. Jesus Christ is the miracle working God. He wants to set you free from the prison of financial poverty. You don't have to be there all your life. He wants to provide for your financial needs. And not only provide, he wants you to be abundantly blessed so that you can bless others in your circle of influence. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus does a financial miracle. Matthew 17, the Word of God says what? It says that Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13 is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. Amen? The Jesus who performed miracles 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who personally wants to perform a miracle in your life. Matthew chapter 17, if you want to turn there for just a second. Verse 24, Matthew 17, 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does." Verse 25, he replied, "When Peter came to the house, Jesus was the first to speak. 'What do you think, Simon?' he asked. 'From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?' 'From others,' Peter answered. 'Then the sons are exempt,' Jesus said to him. 'But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them from my tax and yours.'" So Peter and Jesus were facing what in this account? They were facing a financial need, right? They needed some money to pay what? To pay the temple tax, right? And you might be there today facing a need for some money to pay a bill. Jesus went about to perform a miracle. What did he say to Peter? What did he say to Peter? He said, "Peter, go out and fish," right? He said, "Go out and fish, catch a fish, open its mouth, and in the money of the fish, you will find the money to pay the temple tax." Now, most likely, we're not going to find money in the mouth of a fish today, right? But he still does provide miracles. You might, but most likely we won't. Where might you find your financial miracle today? It's found in a four-letter word, a good four-letter word. What's that? Work, W-O-R-K. God can provide for you financially through the fish called hard work. Good hard work, and not just working a day here and a day there, 2 days this month and 2 days next month, but working what? Consistently and diligently and faithfully for your boss. And if you're consistent, diligent, and faithful, you will be promoted and blessed, and God will bring about financial provision and abundance in your life. Now, as I told you earlier, we have a business. I have a business here where we work on people's homes in Tulsa. And I've been doing it for many, many years, consistent with it. And I'm not trying in any way to brag on myself, but just trying to give you a personal illustration here. Work on people's homes. And back in 2009, around October of 2009, I was bidding a job to do some gutter work on a person's house in Tulsa. And he said to me, "Jonathan, if you do me a good job," he said, "I'll refer you to this website called Angie's List. It's a referral-based website where if you do me a good job on my house, I'll put a good report on Angie's List for your company." And friend, I'm here to tell you today, we did a good job for him. He gave us a good review. Call after call after call started to come from Angie's List. And I get at least a call or two every month from that website working on people's homes. Why? Because I've been diligent, consistent, and faithful to my bosses, the clients, the homeowners. If God could do it for me through my diligence and faithfulness, he can do it for you, friend. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. You may be in the prison of sickness in your body today. God wants to deliver your life into his health and wholeness. Do you believe that we serve a healing Jesus? Do you believe it? All right, Matthew chapter 9. Two blind men came to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. They cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Jesus asked them what? Jesus was asking them, in essence, do you believe I'm able to restore your sight? And they said, Jesus, we believe it. They said, yes, it was a confident yes, a faith. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago is the Jesus who can heal your body today. What does it take? It takes faith in Jesus, faith in God, right? That he can do it for you. Knowing, what is faith? What is faith for your healing miracle? It's knowing that you know that you know deep down on the inside that the Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago is the Jesus who can heal you today. But it also takes more than faith. It takes doing something with your faith. So let's say you got a report from the doctor that your blood pressure is high. What could you start doing in the natural to lower that blood pressure? You can get onto a better diet plan, right? A better exercise strategy to start lowering that blood pressure. There's things we can do in the natural. You know, if you're having problems breathing and you smoke, what's one of the things you could do in the natural? You can stop smoking and clear up your lungs. Does that make sense? All right. Today you may be in the prison of demonic oppression. Demonic oppression. And we got so many scriptures here. Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus set free a boy with a demon. Matthew 17, I'll just kind of summarize it here. Verses 14 through 21. And this man said, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures. He suffers greatly, falls into the fire or the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. You may be suffering from demonic oppression today. You may be in a prison of demonic oppression today. Guess what? Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. And one of my friends runs some orphanages in North India. You might have heard this story before. He was telling me some time back, he said, Jonathan, with one of the orphanages I run in North India, he said there was a little girl, this was some years ago, that was possessed by a demon in my orphanage. And his wife went up and prayed for the girl and tried to command it to come out of the little girl, and it didn't come out. So my friend said, Jonathan, I went up to this little girl, and I commanded, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to come out of this little girl. And then he said, burn, he told the demon, to burn under the anointing of God. And immediately, that little girl was set free from that demon. And he told me, Jonathan, you wouldn't believe it now. This little girl is now set free. She's a responsible student. She's following Christ. She is doing so well. If Jesus did it for that little girl in a North Indian orphanage, he can do it for you. You may be oppressed in your spirit by a demon or in your mind where you can't even sleep at night. God wants to set you free in Jesus' name. He did it for the boy in Matthew chapter 17 who had a demon. He set him free. He set that little girl free. He sets people free every day. And he wants to set you free starting right now. It takes faith in Jesus. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. The first step is saying, Jesus, I've been in control of my own life, but come into my life. Take the driver's seat of my life. Take the steering wheel of my life. I submit to you. And once he comes in, those demons have to flee. Is that making sense? He wants to free you from the prison of depression and sorrow. There may be some of you out of here today that are maybe dealing with depression and sorrow. Some of you in the room. Maybe based on a loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of something in your life, and you're depressed on the inside. You're sorrowing. We don't have time to go over it today, but if you go to John chapter 11, you can read about Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. How many know that story? Lazarus had died. He had died. Martha and Mary, his sisters, were sorrowing, grieving, depressed over the death of Lazarus. And they had said, both of them said to Jesus, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you read on in John chapter 11, Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus. And what does he say? I mean, God himself in human flesh shows up at the tomb of Lazarus. And what does he say? He says, what did Jesus say to Lazarus, the dead Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And life came back into his body. And, you know, we can just imagine how excited and full of joy Martha and Mary were. I'm here to tell you today that we serve a Jesus who can turn your sorrow into joy. He can turn your depression into comfort. Amen? We serve the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead. And you've got to start believing God for your miracle. And, you know, a lot of people, when they get depressed, now listen to this. A lot of people, when they get depressed because they start focusing and thinking only about themselves and their problem. Me, myself, and I, poor old me. Why did this happen to me? And you're so focused on yourself. Well, guess what? One of the ways to get out of your depression is to step out of yourself and start focusing on somebody else other than yourself. Back in 2006, you've heard the story, I was, through a series of events, I was going through some severe depression in my life, late 2006, and it was just low. I felt so low, I felt like I could do a push-up under a penny. Anybody ever been there? You feel so low on the inside, you feel like you can do a push-up under a penny. And I felt so low on the inside, 2006. And it's like, man, I can't take this anymore. I'm sleeping in the morning. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to eat. It was the worst depression I ever went through in my life for about a month and a half. So God brought two families across my path that really needed some major help financially. And I did one of the really hard things that I've ever done in my life. I stepped out of myself. I took the focus off my problem, my depression, stepped out of myself and sowed financially into these two families. And friends, I'm telling you, after I did that, it was like I just stepped out. Those chains of depression were broken over my life. And it felt like I was soaring like an eagle with God. The year ended just so well in my life. If God could do it for me, He can do it for you. Shift the focus off yourself, off your problems, and shift your focus onto helping somebody else in greater need than yourself. Is that making sense today? God wants to free you in so many areas. He wants to free you from addictions in your life. Chemical addictions, drug addictions, addictions to cigarettes, addictions to alcohol. He wants to set you free so that you're no longer addicted, so that you can have the victory over those addictions. It's going to take faith in God, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can deliver you. Not only faith, but what? Doing something with your what? Faith. See, God is, now think about this, God is super, right? How many here agree that God is super? How many here agree that God is super? He's super, right? Okay, God is super, and we're natural. If we do something in the natural and add it to God's super, the supernatural power of God goes into effect in our lives, and miracles begin to happen. But you got to start doing something with your faith. Amen? In every area, if you need a financial miracle, you got to do something. Start working. Be consistent. Stick at the job. Don't be there for just a day or two or a week or two. Be there for months and months and months and years. Learn the trade. Be faithful. Is that making sense? And it all begins, freedom in every part of your life begins with what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Making Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord. You know, I talk to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people in the past and asked them, are you going to heaven one day? And they say, yes, I'm going to heaven one day. And I ask, how do you know that you're going to heaven one day? And they say, because I have Jesus as my Savior. That's good, but Jesus Christ wants to be more than just your Savior. What does Jesus want to be? He wants to be your Savior and your Lord. What does Lord mean? Anybody know what Lord means? What does Lord mean? He wants to be Savior and Lord. What does Lord mean? Means ruler. Jesus wants to be your Savior and your ruler. He wants to be the one in full charge of every part of your life. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life is no longer your own. It now belongs to Jesus. And He does with your life what he wants to do with it. Is that right? You might want to go down a certain career path. You might want to do one thing in life. You might want to, whatever it might be. You might want to be just a brick mason, and God is saying, no, I want you to be a teacher of the word one day. Don't fight it. Submit to what God wants you to do, to what Jesus wants you to do. He wants to be Savior and, say it with me, Savior and Lord. What does Lord mean? Ruler. It means king. Jesus wants to be king in every part of your life. He wants to rule your thoughts. He wants to rule what you do with your body. He wants to rule your spirit. He wants to rule your relationships. He wants to rule and be king over your finances and your job situation, over every part of you. Savior and Lord. And making Jesus Lord is not instant. Don't get me wrong here. Making Jesus Lord and king over every part of your life doesn't happen overnight. It takes a process of time.
Ain't that true?
That's right, isn't it? Don't ever condemn yourself if Jesus, you know, if you're like, man, I just want to please God in every part of my life, but I just don't seem to be able to do it. Friends, it doesn't happen overnight. God is patient. God understands that we're weak, that we're fallible human beings. But when we're weak, He is strong through us. In our weakness, His strength is made evident. Amen?